Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Dalid. On the side in the margin of the Gemara, you will notice we have a Nosei Klali, a general topic heading. This topic will continue to Daf Chof Hei Omid Bei. So, as you can see, we have a rather long discussion ahead of us, but this again is in general terms. Yitzias Ho'eved L'Cherus Ayadei Pegiyah Baroshei Evorim. The idea expressed in the Torah itself regarding the slave, the heathen slave, the Eved Kanani, leaving his servitude through the master knocking out or injuring one of his roshei evorim, literally the tips, the heads of his limbs. The specific limbs mentioned are listed in the Gemara in one of the upcoming dapim. We are not going to encounter all of them in today's shiur. However, the Torah itself speaks about the master knocking out the slaves, shein v'ayin, eye, or shein is a tooth, ayin is the eye, or causing him blindness. If that happens, the eved then goes free. On the margin, in the margin, we continue. We have an immediate topic heading, the Nosei, which reads as follows: Loimdim the Eved Yoytzi Lecherus Ayadei Pkiyo Beechod Mechof Dalid Roshei Evorim Zeh Nilmad B'Mamot Sinu Mishen V'Ayin. The list of 24 limbs is derived through Ma Motzinu. Ma Motzinu is a Talmudic method of coming to conclusions that is based on finding common characteristics between, let's say, a given topic and that which you want to derive. Ma motzinu, just like we find by A, this, this, and this, so too we find it by B. And therefore, the halachas that you find by A will apply to B. We'll see a practical application of that in the Gemara. Ha Gemara mitzayenes, deshein v'ayin einam shnei ksuvim aboyim ke'echod, the Gemara points out contrary, we'll say, to a well-known rule. The well-known rule says that if two novel points are taught by the Torah, that's called shnei suvim haboyim keechod, two ideas that have the same conclusion, have the same point, that shows that whatever that point or novelty that exists with regard to those items is restricted to those items and cannot be the basis or serve as a precedent for other areas of the Torah. If the Torah wants something to serve as a precedent, so it will teach it explicitly once. And then I'll say, just like here we reach this conclusion, so we'll apply it in other places. Once would be enough if you want something to serve as a precedent. If something is taught twice, that's the Torah's way of saying it applies to these two cases only. Shnei ksuvim aboyim keechod v'ein melamdin, and you cannot learn from there to other cases. I realize we're speaking in very abstract terms. It will become much clearer as we get into the Gemara. However, with regard to Shein V'ayin, the Torah mentions two limbs whose injury would result in the slave going free. If you were to say that they represent Shnei Ksuvim, Aboyim Keechod, two points that essentially teach me the same thing, one would say that only Tooth and I would be responsible for slaves going free and no other limbs. Cutting off the slave's finger would not result in his going free. So we're informing you, the Gemara will tell us, that Shein V'ayin are not two limbs that have the same characteristics, that teach me the same thing. Each one has a uniqueness that the other one doesn't have. Well, when you have a model like that, when the two items mentioned are not identical, but each one has characteristics that the other doesn't have, then it no longer is viewed as Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod. Now, the Gemara. Tana. Yoytze B'Shein V'ayin V'Roshei Eivorim She'enon Choyzrim. The freedom, Yoytze is the freedom of the slave, is through the Shein, the tooth, Ayin, the eye, and other limbs, heads of limbs, extensions of limbs, that do not heal. Shenam chozer means they don't return. It means after the injury, they don't grow back. Rashi points out three lines from the bottom. Actually, if we go up from the second wide line of Rashi from the under the Gemara text, Roshei Vorim, Chof Dalet Heim, there are 24 altogether. Ushnei Meitzel Negoyim, and they're taught in Maseches Negoyim, in Seder Taros, in the last order of the Shas. Umaisi lehu lekamon b'shmeitzin, they will be presented as a list later in our perek. Daf chof hei. Rashi continues, she'en choizrim in notlon keshein vayim. If they are removed, like if an eye is removed, the eye doesn't grow back. If a tooth is removed, the tooth doesn't grow back. V'gomar b'ma motzinu. And the other limbs, we mentioned are a total of 24, they are derived from studying the characteristics, the attributes of Shein V'ayin, and thereby applying it to other limbs. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Bishlamo Shein V'ayin Ksivi. I understand that the Eved goes free with the injury imposed upon the tooth and eye. They are written in the Torah. Elo Roshei Eivorim. Where do you know the other limbs? Answer, Dumyo de Shein Vayin. Because the other limbs are similar in terms of their attributes to Shein Vayin. Ma Shein Vayin, Mumin, Sheba Golivain, and Chayzrin. Just like the Shein Vayin are overt, visible. Golui means something visible. Visible Mumin blemishes and do not return. They don't heal. Af kol mumin shebegoli ve'einon chozrim. So to all external, visible, imposed blemishes that do not heal. Question: Ve'ema nevu shein vayim shnei suva boy kechod. Why do we not say that shein vayim are effect two psukim, two points in the Torah that come to teach me the same thing? They have the same characteristics, namely their mumen sheba goli and their einon chozrin, and the Torah tells it to me twice. If the Torah repeats itself, it tells me shein, it tells me ayin, and they're both the same in their attributes. They're both mumen sheba goli and their einon chozrin. You can't learn from them to other limbs. The Gemara says tzricha. Shein v'ayin are actually not identical in their characteristics. I need the Torah to teach me, in addition to Shein, it has to teach ayin. I wouldn't have been able to figure one out from the other because of their differences. And once we say they are both necessary, we don't have an example of bo'in ke'echad, two verses that come to teach me the same thing. They are not the same thing. And being that I established this tzrichusa, this necessity of teaching each one, I can then use them, the Shein V'ayin, as a basis for a ma motzinu, for that method of extrapolating two other topics. Of course, we have to show now how each one, Shein V'ayin, is unique, is different than the other. The Ikosav Rachmona, we've squiggle underlined this introductory phrase, Ikosav Rachmona, here and on the top line of Omid Beis. The Ikosav Rachmona Shein, had the Torah mentioned that the slave goes three through master knocking out tooth, Hava Amina, I would have thought knocking out tooth, Afilu, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Shein, the Cholov. We call that a baby tooth, the first set of teeth that a child develops. The cholov is milk. It's a reference to the teeth that a child has while he's still nursing. So if a person has a child slave, if the master would knock out his baby tooth, had the Torah written only tooth, I would have thought that's grounds for his going free, and it's not. Therefore, Kosav Rachmona Arin, the Torah writes about the eye. The eye is, you don't have two sets, might have two eyes, but you don't have two sets of eyes. It's not like teeth where you have the first set, and then an adult set of teeth grows in later. So that ashamed the cholov is not going to be the basis of a slave going free. But how do we know that? Not because the Torah writes Shein. The Shein Decholov is also a Shein. How do I know that Shein Decholov is not going to be responsible for his going free? Because the Torah writes Ayin, describes I. V'yi Kosav Rachmona Ayin, had the Torah stated I, Hava Mina, Ma Ayin Shenivro Imo, Af Kol Shenivro Imo. I would have thought, just like an eye is a limb, is an a part of the body that is there, is present when the person is born, so too only those kinds of limbs that are part of the person as they are born. Aval Shein Lo, a tooth is not there when he is born, so that knocking out the tooth, had the Torah written just I wouldn't have known that knocking out a tooth is grounds for his freedom. Tzricha, therefore, it's necessary, in addition to teaching one, I have to teach the other. As we go on in the Gemara, if you will allow your eye to skim down the next several lines of Gemara till about a third of the way down, you'll see triangles that appear in alternating directions. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei / mivneh, a topic heading with a structural note combined. A triangle is featured, and we call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style of the Gemara. So with the point facing up, they represent she'elois, questions, and the inverted triangle, tshuvos, responses, eich lidrosh ha-posuk shmois perek chaval posuk chavov. That posuk is included on the side of our Shas Ozer, the Gemara, the Mark Gemara that you see. And if you look in the margin, we'll read the pasuk together. Shmois perichov al pasuk above. It says v'chiyake ish es ein avdoi or es ein amoso. When if a man afflicts the eye of his servant or bondmaid, v'shichaso, and literally and destroys it. But you'll see more about that in the use of that word, the understanding of that word in the Gemara. V'chovshi shachenu tachas eino, and because of his eye, he will now go free. So the Gemara asks, V'eimo ki yakeh, the phrase in this pasuk equals klal, is a general statement. Ki yakeh, when someone hits his eved, where he hit it, what was affected, it's general here. Shein v'ayin prat, the pasuk mentions specifically tooth and eye. That's a prat, that's a detail. A specific example. Klal uprat, when you have a pasuk that's structured in such a fashion, opening with a general statement followed by a specific example, ein bichlal elamashim uprat. The rule is that the general contains no more than the specific elements. And the result of that would be shein v'ayin in midyachrin alo. Only shein v'ayin would result in the slaves going free. not other limbs. And yet you mentioned there's a total of 24 altogether. The Gemara says, Lachovshi Yishalchenu, also you can see that in the Pasuk, is Chozar V'Kolal. That's an additional general statement in the Pasuk. And now, what's the structure of the Pasuk? It opens with a general, it's klal, followed by prat, specific, then uklal, and then a subsequent general. And when you have that type of structure, I atodon elo ke'en haprat, you are able to include things that are not specified, but they must have the characteristics of the specified examples. That's ke'en haprat. Mahaprat lefurish mum shibagolo yvein el chayzrim, just like the prat. What's the prat? Shein and ayin are explicitly things that are visible, and when injured, when knocked out, they don't come back. Av kol mum shibagolo yvein el chayzrim. So to all other limbs that are external, and when injured, do not heal. All those would be the basis or the grounds of the slave going free. That, of course, is a ma motzinu. I should say, let me reverse on that point. That is a function of dunning, of judging, or of learning a posuk in the klal prat uklal fashion. The Gemara asks, I ma haprat mefurosh mumin shebegolui botam imlachto veino chayzer. If you're going to look at Shein v'Ayin, you could describe them as follows. They are external. They botel mi malachto. The limb ceases to operate. When an eye is blinded, there's no more seeing. When a tooth is knocked out, there's no more chewing as far as that particular tooth is concerned. That's botel mi malachto. It's the purpose or the role of that limb ceases to exist. And the anal chozer, and it doesn't heal. Af kol, so too, when you want to include what other things would be responsible for a slave going free, I would have to apply this standard. So to all mumin shebegoli, v'eino chozer botim imlachto. Aloma Tanya, so why do we have a Tanaic source that says, tolash v'zikono, v'dildel bo etzem, eved yoytze bohen l'cheres, if the master grabbed his servant by his beard, and he grabbed it very rough fashion. And in that rough grabbing of the beard, he dislodged a bone, seemingly a jawbone. The slave goes free. And what we have to emphasize is that, and you can see this in the Rashi. On the first narrow line, the end of the line, Rashi says, "V'afagav the leko bitul malocha." Even though there's no bitul malocha as a result of this, "Da etzem dezokin lav midi havoved." This bone of the beard, jawbone, doesn't do anything. Now we know that it's necessary to have a jawbone in order to chew, but bottom umlachto element, it's still, apparently it's still functional. Rashi goes on to say, kevon devegoluhu, it's visible, it's external, v'eino chozer, and it doesn't heal, harehu ke'esrim b'arbo roshevorim. It fits into the list of 24 limbs. So what we have just seen in this source is that we are going to include as a basis for departure even incidences, even things, limbs that are not botel mimalachtoi. So how do you come, how are you able to include tolash bizikon of edil debetzem that the eved goes free? The Gemara answers lachovshi shachenu rivuihu. The concluding expression as far as the drosha is concerned, Chofshi Yishalchenu, is not to be darshan in terms of klal prat uklal, but rather it's a ribui. Ribui is a different form of biblical exegesis. It's we would call, in this particular case, you have a a ribui, miut, and a ribui. That enables you to include more things than are similar to the prat. The Gemara asks, V'i ribui hu, if the pasuk is darshan now in the ribui fashion, afil hi ka yodoi v'tzamsa, v'sefalat tsunami, even if you hit the slave on his arm, and it, tzamsa Rashi says, dried out, and it, and that's so that's the nature of the injury, and it heals. So philosophy means it gets better. This source tells us, ein eved yotzeva chiruso. If you have a riboy, then why do we say that in this case he doesn't go free? The Gemara answers, im kain, if you're going to say that even he call al yoda ivitzamsa the sefer goes free, then shein vayin maya hanile. What benefit do you derive from the fact that the Torah writes explicitly shein vayin? So that if you would be willing to include the case of hikal yodav samsa as a basis for him going free, you would then have no benefit from the shein vayin examples that the Torah gives. So the result of what we have seen is that even injuries that are not identical to shein v'ayin, for example, the case of Tosh Bizkono, the Dildo Etzim, you have Mumen Shebegolui, you have Eino Choser, but you don't have Boto Mimalachto. That's okay. What enables me to include that case? The drosha in the ribui miut ribui fashion. However, that doesn't enable me to include something as far-fetched, if you will, as simply having the slave hit on his arm and it dries out. It's too far removed from the examples of shein v'ayin, and therefore, even though we're darshaning in the ribui miut ribui fashion, we're not going to go that far, because we have to have some type of benefit from the description or from the teaching of shein v'ayin. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin where the nosei appears, and it says eved hayyotze b'roshe vorem. A slave that is going to go free, who's as a result of the limbs being injured, ha'im tzorech get shichur v'hatir b'aschurin olo. Does he need a freedom document? And the purpose of the freedom document would be to enable him to marry a regular Jewish woman. We know that when a slave is freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. In order for him to be able to marry a Jewish girl, a Jewish woman, does a get shichur become a necessity as well? Or is it sufficient that his roshei evorim was knocked out? The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We're going to see in this Tanaic source quite a few different names, and you'll see how they argue with each other. After the framed section, the Gemara will ask, "My taima de Reb Shimon," and then two lines after that, "Rebbe Meir, what's the reason behind his opinion?" Now the source, "Bekulam." Kulam means through all of them, through all the roshei evorim, through all the 24 limbs. Eved yotze behem l'chiris v'tzorach get shichur. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Though the slave goes free through the limb being knocked out, he needs, in addition, the freedom document, a get shichur, in order for him to be able to marry a Jewish woman. Rabbi Meir Omer eino tzorach. Meir says there's no need for it. The fact that one of the roshei evorim was knocked out is enough to establish total freedom, including the right to marry a Jewish woman. Rabbi Elazar Omar Omer Tzorich, like Rabbi Shimon said, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Eino Tzorich. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tzorich. And now there's another opinion that doesn't appear as a name, but Hamachriim Lifnei Chachamim Omrim. Machriim, the word Lachriya in general has to do with making a decision, coming to a conclusion. And when you see the term Hachra, you will often find it in the context of two variables. A type of balance is made, or distinction is made, each case within its own context. Here, the name that's presented as the Machriim Lifnei Chachamim, they say Nirim. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon B'Shem V'Ayin, the approach of Rabbi Tarfon that there is no need for an additional get shichur if an eye or if a tooth or eye were knocked out. Shehatoira zachsoloi, the Torah, by virtue of the fact that it spells out in the scripture Shem V'Ayin, that is enough. That's a complete, that would be a complete freeing, without the need of an additional get shichur. For Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's approach that said you need a get shichur, Bishar Evorim. That's with regard to the other limbs. Hayol Umedrish Chachamim. We skip the bracketed section. I'll read that again. Hayol Umedrish Chachamim Hu. That's the final reading. The section contained within the brackets is an expression that is not accurate, and the Gemara refines it. So now let's read this again. We said that Rabbi Akiva's approach that necessitates a get shichur as well, that's necessary by the other shar evarim, the other limbs. Hoyl uknas chachomim hu, since it's the other limbs are a rabbinic fine imposed on the master. Kenasu, you make it sound as if it's a rabbinic invention, a simple fine. Kroi kodarshinon, the inclusion of the other limbs is through the way we darshined, the way we expounded upon the actual verse. If you recall, we mentioned that we have a ribui miut veribui type scriptural structure. So what do you mean by saying that the other limbs necessitate a get shichur because it's only a knas chachamim? Rather, hel elo hayol umedrish chachamim hu, since it's derived through the rabbinic rules of a scriptural exegesis, and not something that appears explicit in terms of being presented black on white. And as a result of that, so it's not enough that the other limbs may have been knocked out. There is still the need for a get shichur. My time under Reb Shimon. What is the basis of Reb Shimon that always necessitates a get shichur? He didn't make any distinction. Says it's always a necessity. Answer: Yolif shiluach shiluach miisha. The Torah uses the term shiluach, v'shilcha, the root of the word is shin lamed ches, the idea of being sent away from. The use of that word appears in its variant forms in the case of the servant leaving his servitude and the divorce of a wife. Ma isha b'shtar, just like a woman is sent away from the house in divorce through a document, af eved nami b'shtar, so too an eved's release necessitates a shtar, even if it be shein v'ayin. For Rebbe Meir, he does not necessitate a shtar. Response: he says, "E kosav chofshi lebesof." If the word chofshi would have appeared after the word yishalchenu kidekoamres, then I would agree with what you said, that you learn from the woman always needing a get shechur. Hash the kos of lechofshi shachenu. Now that the Torah writes the word chofshi before the word yishachenu, havei lechofshi meikora. As soon as one of the Rosh Evarim are knocked out, he is free. The word yishachenu that appears afterwards, that is to include the other Evarim besides Shein V'ayin. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a Tanaic, we have a topic heading, Hezik Derech Hashmas Kol. Damage is wrought through sound. We'll see as we go on in the Gemara more about that. Tanu Rabbanan Hikohu. If impact was committed, Al Eino V'Sama, on his eye, and that blinded him. Al Oznoi V'Chersha, on his ear, and that deafened him. Efed Yotze Bohen L'Cherus, a slave will go free. If, however, impact was made, but not directly on the limb, the eye, or the ear, but from the other side of a wall, in other words, the Eved was, let's say, leaning with his face on the wall, maybe he was looking through a hole in the wall, and someone banged from the other side. Likewise, with regard to his ear was placed against the wall, and from the other side, someone banged. That's neged eino, v'eino ra. As a result of that, he lost his sight. Neged ozno, v'eino shomea, opposite his ear, and he lost his hearing. Ein eved yotze bohen l'cherus. The slave does not go free. Omar Rav Shamon l'Rav Ashi. L'meimra, are you suggesting dekola lav klumhu, that sound is not enough? The sudden burst of sound, which apparently was responsible for his blindness or deafness, is not itself of significance. Direct impact, yes, but sound not. But is that really true? V'ha'tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Tarnagol Shehishit Roi Shoy L'Avir Kli Zechuchis V'Tocha Bo V'Shivroi. A chicken that inserted its head into the airspace of some type of glass vessel, and the chicken Tocha Bo means, like, from the word Tokea or Liskoya, but Shoyfar, it's the way the chicken makes it sound. It cackled while its head was in the airspace of a glass vessel. Now, the chicken has an owner, and the chicken's cackling, the sound caused the vessel to crack. Mishalim Nezik Sholem. The owner is to pay full damages. The owner of the chicken is to pay full damages for the breaking of that glass vessel. The Omar Rav Yosef, Amri Bey Rav. Rav Yosef quotes that which was stated in the yeshiva, the Amri Bey Rav. Sus shetsonaf v'chamor shenonir v'shibru kelim b'soch habayis. A horse that whinnied, a donkey that brayed, and through their voices, through the sounds emitted from these animals, vessels broke. Mishalmim chatzi nezek. A half payment is to be made. The reason for the difference between nezek sholem and half payment has to do with the expectancy, the regularity, the usualness or unusualness of the matter, but that's not a topic we have to focus on right now. What we've dashed underlined is the main consideration, and that is that payment is made for damage wrought by mere sound. You're not dealing here with impact upon the vessel by these different creatures. Omar Lay. So Rav Ashi answers, Shiny Odom. The case of a person that was injured through the sound, that's different. The Kevin de Bardazu, since he has his own mental faculties, he has his own powers of decision, Ihu Mivis Nafshei. He became deafened or blinded, but because of freight that he allowed to take over. Mivis has to do with sudden fright. Nafshei himself, he caused his own fright. Kidisanya, as we see in the following source, Hamavis es chavero, a person who frightens his friend. It's very upsetting and all, but poter midinei odom v'chayv dinei shemayim. He's exempt from issuing financial compensation. That's dinei odom. He's exempt from that. Heaven, though, holds him responsible. Chayv dinei shemayim. He is considered culpable in the eyes of heaven. Ketzad toka b'ozno v'chersho poter. If someone trumpeted in someone's ear and that sound caused deafness, the offender is exempt. Achzayho v'toka b'ozno, if you held the victim while trumpeting in his ear, making it impossible for the victim to move or to escape, and that trumpeting while holding him caused deafness, that's v'chersho, caused deafness, chayav. In a case like that, you are obligated to compensate. As we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where the nosei appears, and it reads, Pegia b'chush hori'io shel avdo u'b'shein avdo. Affliction of the eyesight of the slave or the tooth of the slave. Under the structural note, Roman numerals 1 and 2 appear. They introduce two Shnei Brises, Be'inin Anal, two Brises that deal with the above-mentioned topic. Ma'at Sorech L'lami Shneim. The Gemara will present to us why both of these Tanaic sources are necessary. Now the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. Roman numeral number 1. Hikohu. The master hit the slave, Al Eino, V'Kwasa, on his eye, and caused a dimming of the eyesight. Rashi points out that this kasa is not total blindness, but a dimming. Al shino v'nodada, or he hit the eved's tooth, and it started to become shaky. Im yochol l'shtamish b'en achshov, ein eved yitzven l'chirus. If after the impact, they are still functional, he still has sight, he still can chew with it, with the tooth, the eved, the slave, does not go free. Vimlav, and if they, however, lost functionality, eved yoytse bohen lecherus, that is sufficient grounds for the slave to go free. Even though, in the case of the eyesight, for example, it wasn't total blindness, but it's a level of sight which is not functional. Tanya idach, harei shehoisa eino kehuya v'soma. An eved had eyesight that was kuya, that was dimmed, and the master blinded him. Shino as a tooth, neduda, that was shaky, vipila, and the master knocked it out. Im yochol ishtamish bohen kvar, if they were functional before the impact, and now they've been rendered useless completely, total blindness, tooth knocked out, eved yoytze bohen l'cherus, that is sufficient reason for the slave to go free. V'im lav, if at the outset they were not functional, ein eved yoytze bohen l'cherus, the slave will not go free. Utsricha, both of these sources are necessary. In other words, by teaching me the situation in one of the sources, I wouldn't have concluded the situation and results in the other source. The I Ashmin and Hakamaisa, had we taught about the slave going free in source number 1, Mishum Demeikora Nahirabori, Fahashta Nahira Kechisha, because there you were dealing with an Eved before the impact. He was totally healthy, had full eyesight, Nahura Bori, strong, healthy eyesight. And now, it's been weakened. Avol Hocha, but in source number two, the Meikara Nami Norukhisha, you started out before any impact with an Eved, with a slave that had poor eyesight. Aim alone. Maybe in a case like that, there would be no basis for freedom. V'i Ashmin and Ha, had we taught the situation featured in source two, Mishum de Samuel Legamri, because there was complete blindness that was imposed. Aval Hossam, but in case number one, in source number one, de Lo Samuel Legamri, there wasn't complete blindness that was imposed. Aim alo, maybe there is insufficient grounds for freedom in such a case. Tzricha, therefore, it's necessary to teach the details of each one of the sources as being grounds for freedom, as, of course, as was described in each one respectively. Before continuing, once again, we glance at the side, we have a topic heading, Machloikes Tanoim, a Tanaic disagreement, Be'inyin Hapolas Eiver B'li Shiskavin Ha'odoin L'shachasa, a case where a master impacts a particular limb of the slave without destructive intent. So we'll be analyzing cases where there was physical impact imposed by the master on the actual limb, causing its dysfunction, but the master did not do so with destructive intention. The Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Hare Shehoya Raboi Roifei, a case where a master is also a doctor, a medical doctor. The Omar Loi Likho Loi Enoi V'Saman, the request was made to apply kachol. Kachol is a type of eye application, an eye ointment, an eye potion, whatever. But this was requested, and the master ended up blinding the Eved, the slave. Or the master is a dentist, and the request was made, Lachtor Loi Shinoi. Lachtor Loi Shinoi has to do with, we'll say, some type of dental treatment. Drilling of the tooth, drilling around the tooth, for whatever beneficial purposes. But the pilo. And the result was, however, that the tooth was knocked out. Sichek ba'adoin v'yetze l'cheris. The first opinion says that the Eved, even though there was no destructive intention, he laughs all the way to the bank, so to speak. It means he goes free. Rav Shmuel Omer v'shichasa. The pasuk uses the word v'shichasa. We saw this in the pasuk quoted earlier, included in the margin in the upper part of the page, where it said v'chiyake ish es ein avdoy es ein amosoy v'shichasa l'chavshi yishachenu tachaseinu. So the word v'shichasa, according to Rav Shmuel Omer, means ad shiyiskavein l'shachasa, until there's destructive intent, not merely that destruction took place, but the intent is also necessary in order for there to be grounds to free the slave. Rabbonon hai v'shichaso amai avdi lei. What do the Rabbonon derive from that word? Miboya lehu lichadetanya. They need it for the following teaching. Rabbi Lozer oimer harei shoyshit yodoi lemei shivchosoi. Master extended his hand into the womb of his bondmaid, v'sima ubar shebemeeha potter, and the result was the unborn. This unborn, eventually, when he's born, would be born as a slave. So here you have the blinding of the unborn while inside her womb, potter. There is exemption. The master, in this case, he had no intention for the eye at all. However, according to the Rabbonon, if a master had intention to work on a particular limb, even though there was no destructive intention, there's culpability and there would be freedom. My taima, why, according to the Rabbonan here represented by Rebbe Lozer's teaching, why is this the case? The Omar Kro Vashikhasa Atshe Yichavein Lishachasa. In order for me to offer an explanation for this particular piece of Gemara, I would like to suggest the interpretation based on the Tosfos here and the Ritva. And that is the basis of, we'll say, exemption, as far as Rebbe Lozer is concerned, and Rebbe Lozer representing the Tanakhama, is that there is exemption only if you have two positive elements. One is the master had had positive intentions, lahativ. Had positive intentions. He had healing intentions in his dealing with the slave. And number two, that he had no intention to have contact with that particular limb. So, in the case of the master serving as a midwife, it seems there that he wanted to benefit the bondmaid in helping her give birth, if you will, and he had no intention for the eye of the ubar. However, if you alter either one of those factors, there is grounds for freedom, grounds for, we call it culpability, which translates into freedom of the slave. And that's what the Gemara means when it says, my time, or what's the basis of Rebbe Lozer, because the Pasuk says, v'shichasa. And that means that there will be freedom, achi'chavein l'shachasa, once there is intent for the particular limb. V'idoch, and by the way, that when we say there's intent for that particular limb, even if there was positive intentions on the part of the master, we still saw that the slave will go free, according to the Chachamim. V'idoch, Reb Shimon Gamliel, v'shiches shichaso nafka. He learns his point of view that there is no freedom unless there is destructive intent as well, from the fact that the Torah, instead of writing just v'shiches, it writes v'shichaso. He comes to his conclusion, v'idach, the Rabbonon, shichaso lo dorish. They don't see any significance in the change of the word from shiches to shichaso in order to reach the conclusion that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel reached. Omar of Sheshes, Harishoisa Enosh Smuya, V'chotata. Here we have a third level of eye injury, and that is, you're dealing with a totally blind eye, no eyesight. The master comes along and gouges out, chotata is to cut out or gouge out the eyeball of the slave. He goes, Eved Yotze Mecherus, the slave goes free, my taima. Why? He didn't have eyesight. The answer is mechusar ever hu. You have now made him into an individual lacking the presence of the limb. Not just an issue of functionality, but the physical presence of that limb is now absent. The tono tuna, and in a Tanaic source, you find that this is a factor. Namely, not just mere blindness causing blindness is the basis of freedom, but the causing the missing of a limb from an eye that was already blind is also categorized as a blemish. The source cited does not deal with slaves and their freedom, rather it deals with the topic of sacrifices. And yet we're going to derive a conclusion from which we can apply the law of sacrifices to the law of slaves. The source says, Tammuz v'zachrus b'behemov, ein Tammuz v'zachrus b'oifis. Tammuz is a term meaning blemish free. Zachrus has to do with gender, literally male gender, but the requirement of having a blemish-free animal or a specific gender of an animal applies in the realm of sacrifices to animals. The Ein Tammuz v'zachrus b'oifis means not applicable to bird offerings. Yochol yovshigapo nikto raglo nechteto eino. We just said that birds are exempt from the high standard of being blemish-free. Does that mean even if the bird suffers from these phenomena, the yovshagapo nikto raglo would mean a leg of the bird is cut off, or it's nechtah to'eno, which we dashed underline, we want to really focus on this example, where its eye was gouged out. Does that also not disqualify the bird? Not true. Tamud lomar min ha'oif v'lo kol ha'oif. The pasuk speaks about bringing sacrifices from the birds, not all birds. Birds that are missing a limb would be disqualified. So we see from here that even though if the bird had been completely blind, which would be a mum, that would be considered a blemish, that would not disqualify the bird, but the gouged out eye does disqualify the bird. So we see from here that the gouging out of the eye is of its own significance, and when you apply that to the case of the slave, we realize that even though the slave originally was completely blind, gouging out the eye would constitute grounds, if the gouging out done by the owner, that would be grounds for the slave going free. Omar b'chil barashi, Omar Rav, hoiso loy. We continue at the top of daf chof hey, yaseres v'chotcha eved yoytze bohen l'cherus. A yaseres is an example of an extra digit on one's hands or feet. We call it an extra finger or a sixth finger. If the master cut off this extra digit from his slave, that would be grounds for the slave going free. So this gives us the feeling that we're viewing the sixth finger as a regular finger. Omar Avuna, v'hu shenisperes al gav hayad. We'll view it that way, provided that the extra finger appeared in the same row, the same height as the rest of the fingers. That's in contrast to a simple nodular growth extending from one's hand that looks like maybe the beginning of an extra finger, but it's not nisperes al gav hayad. Nisperes literally means counted. It doesn't appear in the same row as the rest of the fingers. In a case like that, he would not go free. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.